Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to This Week in Geek.net, yet another horror DVD commentary, once again continuing the theme of classic Universal monster movies, to where Dave is coming in completely raw, I'm coming in from only seeing it once, but these commentaries are more meant to... We're there on the couch watching it with you. We are fan DVDing, we are talking, we're not quite riff-tracking it. We're just kind of having fun with it. So hopefully you'll enjoy some of our insights and thoughts. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. I'm joined with...
David Double D Dennis.
And yes, we are looking at the Universal Monsters, the Essentials Collection on High Definition Blu-ray, coming to us from Universal. Once again, continuing with the Region 2 version. I hope this doesn't differ from the Region 1 version. It shouldn't, really. Watching this again on a PlayStation 3, so you'll have to forgive... if there's any sort of delay. But let's not waste any time, Dave. Let's jump into this. Give me a count in.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. And your counters should now read 0, 1, 2, 3.
How do you do?
We'll let him talk for a minute.
Kind of an interesting way to present a movie.
I love this. This is so cool.
A man of fire. Who sought to be a man after his own image. Without reckoning upon God. He's one of the strangest tales ever told. He deals with the two great mysteries of creation. Life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. Even horrified. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to
I think you need to turn off, Mike. I'm really scared right now.
Yeah, I know, you're fucked. Man. So we're gonna watch Care Bears next. See, that sets the tone. You cannot get away with that in movies nowadays. And that's a fucking shame.
You probably, I mean, you could put it in a movie, it's just no one does, and it kind of sucks. That would be awesome.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's legit, it's awesome, and I don't know how else to describe it other than that. Just the fact that it tries to set you this wonderful tone, what you're going to see. That's another thing I really want to mention about this before we get any further. This is one of, this movie has some of the coolest movie posters ever. Like, every box art for this is fucking fantastic. If you can find an original one, you're sitting on a couple of $1,000. And look at that. Who plays the monster? You don't fucking know, man. You'll recognize that's Edward awesome. Van Sloan, who played Van Helsing, and Dwight Free, playing Fritz.
Oh, yeah.
And every, he died in 1943, like, dropped dead on like, a bus or something. Just...
wow, brain aneurysm, maybe.
Or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of these movies back then were made really fast and cheap, so they just used some of the same actors from different ones.
And a lot of them held second jobs. Like, you couldn't make a living off this unless you were, like, Clark Gable or something, and even then.
Yeah, ugh. It wasn't really a serious profession.
Unlike now...
Well, now it's almost like there's too many actors.
Yeah, you
I love
know,
that skeleton thing. That is like someone's front yard Halloween prop.
I know my next door neighbors have like a skeleton stuck on their door.
Probably looks something quite similar to the one from this movie.
You know, Halloween now. It feels different than it used to when we were kids, I guess, because we're older now. I wonder what
well,
it would
your
have been
kid,
like.
When it was all about candy.
Yeah, I guess now it's about dressing up, and it's always... I feel Halloween now when you're an adult is one-upmanship. To do the next cool thing. It's never... for very few people, I find it's about watching horror movies for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I like, this year I find I'm really enjoying it just because I'm... trying to pack in as many awesome horror movies as I can.
Well,
it's basically all I've been doing over the past 3 days that I've been here.
It's just us doing horror movies.
Yeah.
And it's fun, though, because horror movies can be such a communal experience.
Yeah.
Horror movies is one of the things where you can go to a theater and it's a collective thing. And you don't get that very much now.
It's not as much fun when you watch it on your own.
Yeah.
Although, with other movies, it's like almost you kind of have to watch it on your own, like with a really serious drama or something like that. It's like someone else is going to just distract you from it.
Yeah, I mean, like, but you can't watch Shawshank Redemption with, you know, all your frat buddies.
Yeah.
For example. Yeah, with this, you can have so much fun, especially if you got the right people. And Frankenstein is one of those movies where I think it's more participatory, in a sense, because you do get Crazy Fritz. You get the "It's Alive" line, and Boris Karloff going "Wow," and all that shit. Like, it's fucking cool. And I think the imagery really stepped it up here compared to Dracula.
Now, what kind of a graveyard has like an actual Grim Reaper standing in the middle of it? That's what I want to know.
Rich or creepy dude?
Yeah.
Although I'd like to know why the Reaper has a sword. It's one of the dragon priests from Skyrim. You have to be level 3 to kill him.
I remember hearing somewhere that, like, a sword pointing down on a gravestone or whatever, it represents death because it's, like, pointing into the ground.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, death legitimately freaks me out. It's not the prospect of dying that frightens me. It's the prospect of being dead.
Really? See, for me, it's the opposite. I don't mind. Like, even if there is... I mean, I'm hoping there's a heaven, but even if there isn't and you just die and it's, like, before you were born, I'm kind of okay with that because I had my life and then it's done and it's kind of, like, almost selfish to ask for more than that. Like, I had a life. It was good. But the idea of the dying leading up to that and the pain you have to go through...
It's for me not being able to acknowledge the fact that I'm gone. Loss of consciousness.
Yeah, but then you won't be able to acknowledge it,
exactly.
So you won't be able to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
So there's actually, in a way, there's nothing horrifying about that because you won't be there to be horrified.
I guess for me it's that existential terror that exists. Like, oh my god. And Frankenstein kind of skirts that line in the regards that, like the guy said in the beginning, the two biggest mysteries, life and death. Imagine if you died. You are dead, DOA, and you wake up. That
you'd almost be pissed off. It's like I was done.
I was gone.
I had my run. Leave me alone.
Yeah, and that's what I think is really scary.
I think that's why whenever you bring people back from the dead and just about anything, they're always pissed off about it.
I always think of Joss Whedon's Buffy when they bring her back from the dead. She says she came back wrong, and she's talking about, I was in a warm place, I was happy, why did you bring me back? I always think of that portrayal when someone's pissed off. What's up, Dr. Van Helsing?
Wow, it is the same guy.
Yep.
Funny.
What's his name? Abby Normal.
Plus, the abnormal one is in milk, and the normal one is in Sprite, apparently.
Well, it's supposed to do a body good, right? It's just a lot easier to get a hold of corpses back then. Although, evidently, you can order corpses wholesale. If you're, like, a university, or you have a certain license, you can order body parts and shit like that.
Wow.
Really legitimately fucking creepy.
See, that's what I kind of want to do when I die, is, like, donate my entire body to something. I'm going to look into that when I get older. Like, I'm already signed up to be an organ donor, so anything that's on me that's good, usable, take it out. But then the rest, you know, donate it to science or something useful. I feel like just putting me in the ground
is like... It's a waste of a golf course?
Yeah, it's littering. It's post-mortem littering.
I'm
going to
do what Optimus Lucreus or Lucreus, that's Luke from Australia. I will become the corpse of Space Michael Dodd and just float around the Earth shooting lasers. That is my goal, Dave.
Or to be launched out of a cannon and exploded in midair.
Yeah! Like fucking confetti and shit.
Or to do one of your really sadistic corpse jokes with, like, involving children.
Have I ever mentioned that on air?
I don't know. No.
Okay, so thanks to 8-Bit Mickey, this is his idea, but I'm totally stealing it. I would love to have a bomb in my chest and have somebody break in, and when I die, I burst in the flames. So they think they killed a vampire. Or, alternatively, to be dropped out of an airplane, dressed in a Santa Claus suit, onto a children's playground, and have a little voice recorder. It's okay, Santa will come back. My broken neck.
Oh,
feedback
man.
At thisweekandgeek.net. You think I'm a sadistic bastard. I blame.
Or if you could think of
this.
Even better things to do with your corpse when you're dead. Because I'm sure there's some great ideas out there.
I'd like to be a fucked up, like, marionette.
That'd be really weird, like a marionette show made out of corpses. How's no one made that into a horror movie yet?
Probably someone has.
The creepy puppeteer.
Love when he tells his gorgeous wife, yep, not coming home, see you later. What are you doing? Playing with, you know, dead people.
Now, the only thing I really kind of know about Frankenstein, I've never actually read the book or anything. But
I hear it's
based...
a very hard read to get through.
Really?
Yeah, like it's really just... Mm.
Oh. But the book is actually, it was written by Mary Shelley. It was actually based on a nightmare that she had. Like her and a bunch of friends had a competition for who would have the scariest nightmare.
Yeah.
And hers won and it got turned into this book.
That's really freaking cool.
I've had some pretty weird kind of freaky nightmares. Or actually, I've had some kind of cool movie dreams where I see an awesome movie in my dream, and then I think, like, that's cool, and then I turn it into a legit idea.
Mm-hmm.
One of which I'm trying to work on right now involving a haunted house and a hobo.
I can actually think of something that did that, but it's a role-playing game.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll have to let you read. It's fairly short, but very cool.
I'm wondering if you've had any, like, horrifying dreams that would make cool movies.
Not really. I have terrifying imagery, but not dreams as a whole.
Like, as a cohesive story?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing I could really do. I mean,
yeah,
most
here,
of my
like...
stuff, most of my scary stuff, I'm going to talk about in our Conjuring commentary later, because I love ghosts. I've actually investigated some of this shit and captured some legit evidence. Think of it what you will. So, it'll be interesting to talk about that later on.
Yeah.
But, for me, I like the idea of science being corrupted. Being used to serve not mankind, but a darker purpose with this. Like I was saying earlier, the idea of bringing someone back to life from the dead is insane. The fact being able to harvest body parts, which more or less that's what organ transplants are. Harvesting the dead to supplement the living.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, it's amazing that we can do this. And I wonder how long it'll be until we can build bodies and transport the brains into them. Like they're talking about now, they've already found... the gene sequencer or something that controls aging. They just don't know how to retard it. If they could, people would effectively be immortal.
Slow down the aging process?
Or stop it entirely. Which then
begs
the question...
Well, you couldn't be immortal because you could still die if you got hit by, like, a train
or
something.
Yeah, but you wouldn't die outside of violence.
But you could also die, too, by, like, cancer and shit, right? Because they can't really stop that. They would just stop aging. So people yeah. would be like 21-year-olds who get cancer and AIDS. Yeah.
I mean, it's the first step, obviously, because they've slowed it down in mice and changed all that shit. But the idea of being a Frankenstein's monster is interesting to me, because imagine when we have the first cyborgs who died. Let's say their body was mangled in a car crash. The last image they have is like a fucking train coming at them. They wake up in a powerful new body. I can imagine it would be like 100 years till people were used to the idea, because people might go fucking insane. Like, if you wake up in a place you shouldn't exist, it's disorienting and it's terrifying, controlling limbs that are not yours. Just think about the very sensation. You know what your feet feel like, you know what your hands feel like. Imagine all that nerve data being reinterpreted. I look at this shit entirely too much. But yeah, I love this idea. Like I said, Frankenstein to me is one of my favorite. I wouldn't even call him a villain. I really wouldn't. Misunderstood. Because what he's trying to do is good in practice, to create life from death. Yeah, it's a little fucked up, but it could legitimately benefit mankind. Whereas Dracula is an evil dude, but if you left him alone, nothing bad would happen. But then again, that doesn't make for very interesting fiction. The conversation we had last night, we just started a YouTube series called If I'd Thought Of, and it would be how to get out of different situations in horror movies. For example, Friday the 13th, leave! People try and leave those movies. No, Jason's there. Nope, not going. Freddy attacks people in Springwood, Ohio. Yep, not going there. Haddonfield, Illinois. Michael Myers. Nope, not going there. Like, you know, it's just it's avoiding the situation. Or Chucky, what could stop him? A minigun. You know, you'd be surprised how many horror movies could be solved through the appropriate use of firepower.
But that's true. They just, I mean, they're unprepared for the situation, and they.
There's one movie that
walk into their own death.
There's one movie that did it right, and it's hilarious how they did it. Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday. I think that's what it was called. In the beginning, 10 minutes of the movie, an FBI SWAT team hits Jason with machine guns and grenade launchers. Blows him up. That's how you would have solved those movies. If somebody had called a SWAT team. But then again, I guess in Jason X,
pretty much, yeah.
Space Marines get their asses kicked by him. But not because they don't throw the guns on full auto right from the start. But once again, I digress. And Frankenstein has beautiful hair for a corpse.
Yeah. I think they just glued a wig onto him.
And one of the most iconic scenes in film, without a doubt, right here. Just the electrical equipment warming up. Like, this entire sequence, this entire, like, 5 minutes.
Again, the cultural iconography of these movies is just astounding.
And everybody knows that it's alive. It's alive. I mean, it's been parodied in cartoons, comic books, film, obviously, television.
Yeah, it's just one of those universal things everyone knows.
That's another thing, too. I don't know if you could pull off a really good adaptation of Frankenstein now. Like I said, I haven't seen the one with Robert De Niro. And I know there's a Hammer one, so I can't really speak to that one. But there's something literally
so perfect
about this one.
I think you could do it. It's just you don't really need to.
Yeah,
and that's like, the same thing with most horror movie remakes.
I can't think of a good one. I can think of a competent one.
Yeah,
that's the new Carrie.
There's a few, like, decent ones.
But you can't name 10. I promise you might be able to name 3. Maybe.
Yeah, that's about it.
Or there's decent aspects of them. For example, the new Friday the 13th, for example, has creative kills. But it turns Jason into a home hardware spokesperson. The new Nightmare on Elm Street turns Freddy into a sympathetic villain. A good twist, but unnecessary. And the new Carrie makes her more brutal, more deliberate, as opposed to being less reactive. with Frankenstein, it's the guy, I can't remember the guy who plays Dr. Frankenstein's name. Something Owen, I think. Once again, feedback at thisweekingeek.net if I'm getting this wrong, and I vastly apologize for this. there's just something about the portrayal where I can't see Andale's bringing humility and the intensity to it. Like, listen to it. Like, he's so intent on, this is what I'm going to do. You're not going to stop me. I'll let you in, but fuck off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, it's that manic, I have to get this done. And I can't think of anybody who could bring something new to this. Or
because he legitimately thinks he's going to somehow save mankind through it. And if he doesn't, then that's failed. The biggest evil of his life would be not doing this.
Yeah, and that is something I think that's legitimately really hard to pull off in a horror movie nowadays, because you know to go into gore, or it would be something that was not intent. See, look at that! Fucking look at that look! Can you think of anybody who could pull it off instead of maybe Bryan Cranston and, like, Anthony Hopkins? That intensity? Like, and that's what this guy brought to this, and I think with a movie or the idea of Frankenstein, you need that desperate scientist, not evil. Because that's not the right word.
Yeah. Well, because in his mind, he's the good guy.
Yeah. And I forget who told me this. I think it was Ryan. Or maybe it was Spada. It could have even been Steve. That you're the villain never thinks they're the villain. They always think they're the good guy. With the exception of maybe the Joker or something. Yeah, or you.
That the villain is always the hero in their own mind, basically, yeah. Or in their own story. Like, a good example is Lex Luthor.
He thinks he's saving us from aliens.
Yeah, believes with all his heart that he's the good guy and Superman is the bad guy. Because Superman can literally blow up the world, probably,
if he wanted to.
He could probably fly to the core and superheat it or something.
He can punch as hard as a supernova. Earth doesn't stand a chance if he ever decides to go nuts.
So, yeah, he could pretty much wipe out mankind, and Lex Luthor's like, yeah, this guy's a ticking time bomb. If we happen to piss him off, he's going to kill us all. It's too much power for one man. I have to stop him. I'm the only person smart enough to do it, and this is my job. It's my destiny. So to him, he's the ultimate hero. But everyone else looking at it from the outside is like, nope, holy crap, one asshole. Yep.
You team up with alien gods and it's never worked out for us yet.
And every good villain is written that way. The stupid villains that you don't remember are the really cartoony ones that are just like, evil for the sake of evil.
Yeah, like I think a good example of a really well-written villain, at least in concept for sure, is Doctor Doom. The leader of Latveria. He believes he's doing good for his people. And for the most part, he is. He keeps them safe. Latveria is the safest place on Earth. Mind the Doom bots, but, you know, whatever. Or someone like Hush believes he was wronged by the Waynes because they saved his parents and he wanted them to die so he could be free to do his own shit.
A lot of good examples in comics, especially recently.
Yeah. Where it's like finally they got it figured out.
Yeah.
And in movies, I'm trying to think of villains that really, really stick out to me as really, really, really complex. I liked Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Like, he's especially bad people. Especially if you watch the new Hannibal series. But he's actually one of those villains that is not the hero, I guess. He actually is pretty much pure evil. Unless you watch Hannibal Rising, but that doesn't count.
Yeah.
But that's one of the few instances where they actually pull it off. Because there's something absolutely satanic about Hannibal Lecter, that he is just, like, walking evil, pretty much.
Is he the protagonist of the show?
It basically takes place before
Silence? Or Red Dragon?
Before Red Dragon, like, just prior to it. So the main characters are Hannibal and Will Graham.
Here we go!
I didn't know he actually invited people in to watch him do it.
Well, if you're gonna save mankind, you need an audience. So maybe
that's...
Well,
it's not like he had a choice, ego, either. Yeah. Well, that's true. He could have kicked them out.
I mean, if he does have one problem, he's arrogant about it. He's too prideful in it.
Yeah. Look at the size of the feet on that guy.
Mm-hmm. And Boris Karloff, what he accomplished.
Guys like Magic Johnson.
You know what? Even if they did do a new Frankenstein today, it would be fantastic makeup effects. But, I don't know. Well, see, Frankenstein's one of the few monsters you don't need CG for. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I don't mind CG if it's being used just for stuff like augmenting your background so that it fits with the period.
But adding extra blood looks stupid.
They do it in everything now.
Like, the worst example of it, and I feel bad for saying this, is George A. Romero's Land of the Dead. In the unrated director's cut, they add some more blood. It's not fucking worth it, man. It looks so fake. Always go practical. It'll always look better, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And with this, if like with the right makeup artist and the right physical performance, it brings it to life.
Basically,
literally, he's gonna say that line right now. That was totally not planned.
Basically, just use CGI for the stuff you literally can't do practically. And that's where he's basically gotten too proud, and that's
his downfall.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of Jurassic Park in a weird way.
With John
it's
Hammond.
It's very much the same type of story of don't play God.
Because we're not ready for it.
Won't work
and
out
I love that
well.
Idea.
Because we sort of need to accept our place on this planet as...
I mean, it's
one
okay
of the
to
species.
Advance.
We're not God.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to do godlike things as long as you're responsible with it. But there's also some boundaries that should never be crossed, I think. I mean, for example, I really fully believe we better master this whole aging thing and getting the hell out of the solar system at some point. Because
we've got
some limited time left. Especially the sun could put out a kill shot at any time. Or gamma ray burst, but that's a discussion for a different day. Believe me, I live in existential terror in that regard, too.
I know, you're always worrying about that stuff. For me, it's like, I don't worry at all about anything that's outside of my control. If the sun is going to blow up and wipe out the Earth, it's like, at least it was something I could do literally
nothing
about. If I die by my own stupidity, that's my own fear.
Yeah.
That I die, or even worse, that I kill someone else. Because it was my own mistake. I was driving and I wasn't paying attention or something.
I guess that's my thing. It's always the things that are out of your control. But I like to think humanity does control its own destiny to a certain extent. And with characters like Frankenstein...
In some ways, we can sort of bend it, I think, more so than we can completely control it.
Yeah. We can nudge in a different direction.
Yeah.
Like, with Frankenstein, controlling life and death, that's not... That's something that's very, very dangerous. I mean, if you look at it from a bigger point of view, who controls who lives and dies? That literally who watches the watchman sort of ideal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how does it boil down sociologically? Like, how do we decide who gets to relive sort of thing? Do people put it in their will? Eventually it would boil down to money. You'd have to just have enough money. You'd have to save up enough money to have kind of a life insurance.
And even then, how does that work? I mean,
live after you die.
There's a wonderful book that talks about this in a very weird kind of sense, in a very sci-fi way. I think it's called GURPS Cyberpunk. It's a role-playing supplement. And they talk about, for example, let's say you had a recording of you, like a brain tape, and you were implanted into a clone. Do you possess the same rights as that the person who died? You are merely a backup. Once again, discussion for a different day. Because Frankenstein literally could have changed the world with this. I mean, imagine if the dead could come back to life, and you've already paid out the insurance. Whole new kettle of fish, legally. Once again, I think of this type of shit.
Imagine if he hadn't used an abnormal brain and if it was actually
a
like...
a normal person.
Yeah. It actually worked and basically changed the world.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting, like, alternate version of Frankenstein.
Do you think maybe the person Frankenstein brought back would have killed themselves again? Once again, like I said, that's
maybe.
The idea. Because that's a big responsibility, too. If you talk like that, people call you crazy. But if I could discover just one of these things, what eternity is, for example, I wouldn't care if they did think I was crazy. You're young, my friend. Your success is intoxicating.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, is sort of knowing what happens beyond life. Like, you're sort of, you're killing the faith element of religion.
Which a lot of people...
You're killing really any faith.
It's really weird. I actually had this conversation on my Facebook about a month or so ago. I'm surprised just how many people lack basic faith, even in anything. I mean, I consider myself... Gnostic Christian, and what that interprets to me is I believe everything is right from a certain point of view. Knowledge is your faith, but not science. And what I mean by that is I don't necessarily need to prove there's life after death, but I've gathered enough knowledge on my own where I'm comfortable in that. I don't need National Geographic telling me.
Yeah.
As long as you seek out this knowledge for yourself, it is knowledge you have earned, it is your right. But I was just surprised how people got mad.
I feel like it's just, it's, and again, this is just my opinion, it's just as nearsighted to not believe anything as it is to believe everything.
Yeah. Like, you have to find your own path.
Yeah, you have to find, like, some kind of middle ground.
Yeah, and it's really weird because, like, the idea of this, too, would change religion fundamentally on its head, too. Because, once again, looking, Frankenstein comes back, is that the same soul that was in that body? What came back? Was it merely meat or something more? And that's another thing, too. If we did an alternate version of Frankenstein, that's things that could be explored.
Yeah.
I mean, the monster is fascinating on his own, but it's the psychology of the monster that I love. Because
there's really a lot you can read into this just beyond, ooh, Frankenstein is scary and he has bolts in his neck.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look at that. That's a great shot. And you know that's alive, and you have to wonder what's going on in that head.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a scene coming up where Fritz tortures him, more or less. And then he kills Fritz. And what drove that behavior? I mean, is Frankenstein more than is he more than an animal at this point? It's an animal that walks like a man. I guess you could draw the Wolfman. Analogy there, too. Like, that's something I really think a lot of older horror movies do not get credit for. They're a lot more psychological than you really realize.
Yeah.
And that's bloody gorgeous.
But they don't really... It's not overplayed. It's never, like, overwritten where the characters are like, let's sit down and have a serious discussion about what's happening in the movie.
Or, here's imagery for the sake of imagery.
It's just, that happens in so many horror movies now. Like, here's freaky imagery. I don't care.
It kind of reminds me of one of our friends we went to college with. His name's Mark Lambert. Has a show on YouTube called Fanboy Flicks. He did something, What's Wrong With, and it was The Wicker Man. And the director for that was shoving this bee imagery down your fucking throat. And there's another movie. It was the Lindsay Lohan movie.
Who killed me. Everything's blue.
Yeah, blue or red or whatever. Like, really? Fuck off, guys.
The whole movie is blue.
And it's supposed to be... Stupid. See, this is imagery that works.
Because it's actually part of the story and it actually means something and it's not...
Like the monster reaching for God or reaching for heaven and then being cast down into darkness when he pulls the thing back. Once again,
yeah, and there's a lot,
wonderful.
Yeah, there's a lot you can read into it without it being shoved down your throat. It's just subtle enough to be interesting. But at the same time, even if you're too young to get or care about any of the imagery, it's still a fascinating movie. Because, holy shit, he made a monster and it's going to kill everyone.
And there's some wonderful moments in the, like this, for example. I interpret that as reaching out for human contact, for friendship. There's a point.
Or he's really hungry.
See, like Fritz is kind of a dick about it. There's another point, like, you've seen the famous scene where he kills the little girl, right?
Where
he throws her in the pond and she drowns.
I remember that scene from Young Frankenstein. I think I've seen parts of it.
Yeah, they do it here, and I've always interpreted it. It makes me think of the dog that played too rough and hurt somebody.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, like, I always think of, like, when animals get really close to their masters, and once they've passed away, they legitimately feel sorry. And Frankenstein, I think, is a creature very much of remorse. Like, he's a very sympathetic person. He's not mindless killing.
Yeah.
Like, he's driven to
it. Yeah, compared to basically what John Carpenter invented in Halloween was the mindless, faceless killer.
It kills because that's what it's designed
to do. Without purpose sort of thing, whereas Frankenstein was intended to be sympathetic. Maybe that's what they were going for with the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, I don't know.
Yeah, toy missed the mark, whereas here, no wonder Frankenstein flips out. I mean, look at this guy, what an asshole.
Yeah.
There's something I never thought I'd say during a commentary for Frankenstein. Man, what a douchebag.
Now, why do they leave him alone with the thing? Because they had to eat lunch?
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, yo, we gotta go get a sandwich. You watch him?
Did he actually hang him?
Yeah, he got the idea. You pushed me too far.
But how would he hang him? Wouldn't that require, like, more brain power than he has?
There might have been something hanging from the ceiling. I also like the idea that Frankenstein is able to be hurt through conventional means.
Yeah, he's not actually invincible and he can still feel pain.
Yeah, I mean, you hit him with a shotgun blast in the face, he's still going down.
He's just, like, I guess more resilient to it because he's already dead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how do you kill something that's already dead?
It's almost like the first zombie in a way.
Yeah.
When they made Night of the Living Dead, they should have just called it Frankenstein's.
One of the things I like that they do, if I remember this right, that's amazing. See, this once again advances the science. Once again, to look at it from a different angle. This means Frankenstein has a working circulatory system. He's pretty not reanimated through supernatural. He's literally alive.
Yeah, pretty much everything on him would have to work. Which means he would have to eat and poop.
Yeah, Frankenstein poops.
Something I bet you didn't know about him.
There you go. Frankenstein occasionally has to shake it twice.
I think more than anything, Boris Karloff's gigantic feet really make the character threatening.
I mean, you know, a very underappreciated performance of Frankenstein was Tom Noonan, was it?
Noonan.
Yeah. From the Monster Squad, directed by Fred Decker, I think 86, 87, maybe 88. Frankenstein finds a mask of himself, and it's the Boris Karloff version. And he's like, that's me, that's ugly. And he's so visibly upset. And that's another portrayal of Frankenstein that's really good. Like, Dracula tries to control him, and he's like, no, these are my friends. And he saves the Monster Squad and eventually goes to hell. and the little girl gives him a bunny, and he's like, thank you. Like, it's really...
Man, I need to watch this movie.
Yeah, like, it's got so much heart to it. And, like, that's... Frankenstein being the most human of all the monsters in some ways. The most misunderstood, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the mummy, I want revenge, you're gonna die. Wolfman, I can't control myself, you're animal inside the man inside the animal. But Frankenstein...
Dracula is just pretty much pure
power.
Evil.
Yeah, yeah, just power and evil.
Ultimate power. And, but yeah, Frankenstein is misunderstood... The misunderstood monster, the sympathetic monster, I guess.
I also like how they put Frankenstein in the middle of this huge wedding, too. Like, that's why they're all around this castle thing. Like, he runs into town, and they're all,
okay.
Like, having a beer festival or something. Like, here comes Herr Baron or whatever. That's something that I always love about whenever German people, they're portrayed in anything, they always have to slip in the odd German word to, like, remind you. By the way, German hair. Nein. I thought he had a monocle on for a second.
He does, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And a bowler hat. Derek the Bard would be so proud.
That is quite an awesome old-school outfit. And a bow tie.
Oh my God, he's virtually one step away from being the fucking doctor. My wife is shouting about dicks in the other room. For fuck's sakes, I hate that thing.
You can turn it off, you know.
Can you?
Yeah, there's an option.
No, I like it.
I hate you. I hate you and everything that you stand for.
So you don't want me to do your laundry then?
Clean
well,
clothes.
Just do it without
no
the
scary
thing on.
Sound. I don't know.
It's either sound or no clean underwear.
Choose your destiny. So yeah, you're gonna hear a loud buzzing noise during probably every commentary we record.
Does it dry stuff quick?
Not bad.
You have any brandy? Let's get him drunk.
So what happened here that he passed out?
Exhaustion.
I've only ever had
brandy once in my life. And oh. Straight liquor
is it really
terrible.
That bad?
Oh my God, I thought I was going to die. My friend Andy Walker.
Straight liquor by itself is really bad. It's,
unless it's
like
Kahlua, like
medicine,
or something.
It's just, yeah, it's not good.
Michael likes the
pretty
pink drinks.
Yeah, I like girly drinks, so if it has a little umbrella in it, I'm likely there.
I don't really like girly drinks because they're too sweet, I find. I like stuff kind of in between. Like,
although
I'm,
shots
I'm
are
like
fun.
A beer or a rum and coke kind of guy.
I also recently just discovered that hard cider is amazing. It's like hardcore apple juice. Now that we're talking
more
about our
like,
drinking
more
habits.
Like ale beers, like the kind they make in like a barrel.
I've always wanted to try mead.
That shit is awesome. I think mead is made with like berries, isn't
or
it?
Or something like,
yeah,
you can do it like mead and honey and all that shit.
Or honey, that's what it is. It's a different one that's with berries. Someone listening to this will know.
I've always wanted to try mead mostly because of Skyrim.
It's the medieval drink of choice. Although, you know, they would have had rum and beer back then, but... They don't show it in movies as much because it doesn't sound as cool.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't care how much sedative you gave him. Leaving him unbound...
Unrestrained.
...is pretty friggin' dumb. Grab his ass, grab his ass.
He kind of looked like he was going to for a second. Yeah, there's where Frankenstein goes too far.
He's like, yep, fuck you guys. I'm going home.
I'm out of here. I think his arms just kind of dangle there. Frankenstein kind of reminds me of King Kong in a weird way. Same kind of idea that he's... Well, that they're both kind of sympathetic, that they're just thrown into a circumstance where they're trying to defend themselves.
And there's nothing they can really do in the end.
Yeah. And they're seen as monsters, but really they're just misunderstood. This is quite the change in lighting for this movie.
Mm-hmm. It gets very bright. It's like, to, I guess, to establish a different tone. I couldn't think of anything else. I also love the way older men look. I know that sounds weird, but
no homo.
Yeah, no homo. No offense, guys. Very once again that Bela Lugosi unconventional handsomeness. I like how Henry has very distinguished in his nutty, like when he's in the laboratory, he's got that crazy eyed look, that determination. When he's outside the lab, he's a man of high society.
You know who could pull him off, actually, now that I think of it, is Michael Fassbender.
Absolutely. Oh, good casting.
I should be a casting agent.
I would love to do that type of shit. It would be a lot of fun.
Because he has that look, and he could pull off being really intense, really horrifying, serious, and really kind of high society. Aloof? Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Where you might almost see that role almost immediately? In Prometheus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I think, like, that's where, if, yeah, that's what I see.
But if they remade Frankenstein now, that would be my number one choice for Dr. Frankenstein. And get Robert De Niro back as the monster.
I wonder if there was ever a blaxploitation version of Frankenstein. There was Blackula. I'm wondering if there was, like, Blackenstein. I don't mean to be racist. I'm really not pushing that button. For some reason, I remember Laidman saying, what the hell was it that he said? Something like, I'm going to be attacked by Blackulas. Or something like that. I can't remember the context, but I just remember that situation.
Blackula.
Which it's funny. You don't see Frankenstein adapted too often. You see the monster appear in all sorts of shit, but very rarely is the movie or the concept redone.
Not as much as Dracula.
Maybe because it's easier. Popular. Like, Dracula's easier.
And I think it translates more easily across cultures and across time than Frankenstein does.
Mm-hmm. Which Frankenstein would be awesome to remake now, considering how...
Like, setting it today with today's technology?
Yeah!
It would actually make more sense.
I mean, it could be a legitimate... I'm trying to think, what the hell? Like, it could be one of those really important movies, depending on how... what it said about it. You know what? If any Universal horror movie was going to get made, I would say Frankenstein. But it would have to be more... more thought-provoking, less I'm going to randomly murder people that are dancing in Lederhosen.
Yeah.
And being burned down at a windmill.
I would love to see someone like Chris Nolan doing a Frankenstein remake, or David Fincher or something like that.
Yeah.
Someone that would actually put the right amount of thought into it.
Darren
Aronofsky? Yeah, he would do a wicked Frankenstein.
So, if you're listening, Darren... First off, pay us $100 for the idea. Or give Dave a job on set.
Yeah.
I'll manage your social media.
Or let me write the script for you. There's two stipulations. Let me write the screenplay and cast Michael Fassbender as Frankenstein.
Blair, you're missing a kitty.
There we go. What?
Kitty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it looks visibly upset.
Yeah, though. It does not like this little girl at all.
Well, she looked like she was kind of choking it.
Wiley, do you want to play with the little Frankenstein girl?
There was no such thing as the SPCA at the time, so...
Yeah, you...
They could literally have thrown that kitten into the pond and filmed it, and it would be perfectly fine.
Well, you know what's amazing? I learned this... You know what? I'll mention it after this scene, because this is another scene that I absolutely love.
Especially because it's like the innocence of a child. Anyone else would be like, ah!
Yeah, because he doesn't understand. That right there warms my heart and scares me at the same time.
Yeah, because you know it's not safe, but at the same time it warms your heart because this child just accepts him.
Yeah,
for
because
who
you
he
want
is.
It to happen.
There's no judgment there.
It's like playing with a lion. It could turn on you on any minute, but you want to believe because it's purring. That it's fine.
Yeah. And I think truly great horror will skirt that line of where you want things to go right. There has to be a point in the script where things start to go right, and you're like, good, yeah, that's what I want to happen. And then they go awry suddenly.
You know what movie almost did it, but the execution was so retarded? I scream for ice cream. We all scream for ice cream. In the moment where the guy's giving the speech to Buster the Clown, he's like, you're really sorry? And the performance there, it's almost like this. Like, really? Okay. Thank you. Now I can go back to hell or whatever. And then obviously he turns out to be the T-1000, whatever.
But Carrie kind of does that too, where there's the point where the guy asks her to the prom and they kind of legitimately fall in love together. And it's like, good, things are finally going good for this girl. And then it suddenly goes horribly awry. And,
you know what's amazing? I didn't realize the bucket in the original movie killed Tommy Ross. In the remake, they make it crystal clear he's dead.
They don't really make it clear in the original if it kills him or not.
Yeah.
But if he wasn't dead from the bucket, he was dead from the fire.
Yeah. And with that scene right at the end there where Frankenstein kills the little girl, it's that analogy that I gave earlier of the dog or the animal playing too rough and hurting them. So
why was he throwing her in the water?
Because
I didn't really catch that.
Frankenstein saw the flowers float, so he assumed she would. She couldn't swim.
Oh, okay.
So, tragic accident. Which they kind of parallel that in the Monster Squad. Once again, Fred Decker. Because the little girl, Phoebe, meets Frankenstein by the pond. And she's like, be my friend. And he's like, okay. Obviously, it plays it a lot better for them. Their wedding is already better than mine. Which me and Blair plan to renew our vows in like 10 years or less and do it right this time.
It wasn't really that bad.
It was so... We hated it. Plus, your speech is still talked about to this very day as awkward speech number one. I thought
it
was okay.
I gave an epic speech.
And everyone was like, what the fuck is he talking about? I think one of our cousins was going to tackle you at one point.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because they're like, what the fuck is he saying? But I get it, because I get you. You don't piss me off.
Because I was trying to not say the typical wedding speech that everyone says.
You know what I'm
part of
do?
That is just because, yeah, just don't ask me to do wedding speeches. It's just because I've been to too many weddings, like over 24 probably in my life.
I've been to 3.
And I'm just sick of them at this point. It's always the same thing over and over again. I have a very large family.
Here's what I want you to do for my next wedding. I want you to give a speech, and I'm going to give it to you. It's
going
to be the Denny's Kids Menu. And you're just going to read it out loud. $8.99, Grand Slam. Because only you and I will understand the humor.
That'd be pretty epic.
Here is an instruction manual. Legend of Zelda or some shit like that.
Or the instructions of how to install your dryer.
The owner's manual.
Coupled with page 36 of the phone book.
Henry Wong. 519. Yeah, I got shit. Okay, that's an asshole thing to do.
Locking your wife away.
Shit.
You mean the house where you just locked your wife?
Well, she's behind a closed door.
Oh, I thought they were outside right there just because of, like, the weird sort of vines in the decor. But they were just sort of in, like, the living room. Okay.
You know what's one thing that I will give this movie? Is it not incredibly well-paced? Think about this. You're never bored.
I just feel, if anything, that it's too short. Like, it's almost over already. Yeah, and I want them to do more with Frankenstein.
Like, I'm looking at a counter right now. It's at 54 minutes of pass out of an hour and 10. Which means we'll be done.
We're almost done.
Yeah, which means we're almost done here. And that's amazing.
Because I always thought there was, like, this big epic thing with, like, the townspeople breaking out the
oh, there is, but it wraps up like 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Torches and pitchforks. How does she not see him?
I love that. That should be, like, my, like, text alert thing.
Where he just goes, rawr.
Ew, I have a message. Yeah, right now it's Jarvis from the Avengers.
I think it would make a great desktop wallpaper to have that face of, like, the Frankenstein sexy face.
All talking indistinct. And what is likely Peter Dinklage's long-lost cousin.
It does kind of look like the non-dwarf version of Peter Dinklage.
Game of Thrones, if it were in the 1930s.
That's actually a surprisingly dark image of this guy just carrying his dead body through the streets.
I know, like, eh?
I'm surprised they could get away with that back
See,
then.
See, once again, horror without showing gore.
Yeah.
Legit.
Anything involving children is automatically more disturbing because you're more... You have that natural paternal or maternal instinct.
For some reason, I think there's a rule in Hollywood where you can't kill kids. Although I can think
it's
of
not
one...
It's not an actual rule. It's just...
The unspoken
people
rule?
Don't, yeah, it's an unspoken rule that people don't do it very much because it's like killing dogs. If you notice, if in a lot of horror movies, they'll kill cats. Like, not on screen, but off screen. And they'll just, you'll hear the meow, and it's kind of funny. Yeah. If you kill a dog, it's, like, automatically really sad and awful.
Yeah, because I can think of a few times where they kill a cat as opposed to a dog, and it's sad. Like, there's one in
Or it's, like, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's hilarious.
It's funny.
But if the dog got zapped and died, it would be less funny and more tragic, yeah.
The one example I can think of where Hollywood killed a kid, it was the remake of The Blob, superior to the original, I believe. And one of the better horror remakes ever. They're in the sewers. The blob grabs Shawnee Smith's brother's friend, and he dissolves into a skeleton, screaming, reaching to get out from the blob. It's a terrifying image, but it is so fucking effective. And one of the only movies I can think of, I think it was Matt Dillon's brother was in? Kevin Dillon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I wonder what the hell ever happened to him. But anyway. There's one of only legit horror movie remakes I can think of that doesn't suck.
Another two to add to the list are The Thing.
Yeah.
The remake of The Thing from outer space. And
did you know
David Cronenberg's...
was a remake?
What was it? Oh, The Thing from Outer Space was a remake?
Yep. I'll show you. There's a thing on YouTube.
So was the original like a silent film?
I can't remember. I think it was made earlier.
Wow.
Once again, I'm not 100% sure on that because I might be remembering my facts wrong. But there was a guy on YouTube who does a retrospective on the Thing series. And I think I'll have to show it to you later tonight.
That and David Cronenberg's The Fly.
Yes.
It is a fantastic movie.
Can you guess, Jew? Were you in the fly?
Oh, yeah, there's their little bit of German they threw in there.
Mayor McCheese will take the leaders. Discount Peter Dinklage.
And Michael Fassbender's grandfather. And he must be found within the next 10 minutes before the movie wraps up.
Yeah, literally, 10 minutes. You better find this motherfucker. You better step on it. Yeah, like, when this movie originally ended in the theater, I was like, that's it? One more. But I kind of wonder if in a way, it's easy to overdose on these older films. Because they are so short, they are so succinct if you watch too many in a row.
Yeah, they were kind of made to be just taken in small, intense doses as opposed to, like, long, drawn-out
marathons
sort of thing.
Yeah, like, I see this as a matinee. This is a double bill. This would have been an awesome afternoon in the 30s as a kid.
Or you go see Dracula and Frankenstein
back to back with your little nickel bag of popcorn.
They don't really do that anymore either, because they used to do that where like Star Wars Episode 5 came out, and then they released The Empire Strikes Back with the first Star Wars as like a double bill type of thing. Or they did that with the James Bond movies, where like Goldfinger came out and they played the first three like in a row. The only thing I can think of recently that they did that was like a one night only where they did all five Die Hards. Like they played the first four starting at like 8 in the morning or something.
I know, and then they did Harry Potter.
And then they finished with the fifth one as a midnight release. Yeah, they did that with Harry Potter too, where they played all 8 of them in a row.
I think it'd be awesome if for the new RoboCop remake they do that.
Re-release it in 3D. That would be amazing.
Tell
you, I would love it if they re-released the unrated edition of RoboCop.
The Criterion, yeah. I think that was the only shitty looking set in the entire movie. It was just that
this
one.
Right here.
No, or? The one before where it's just them coming up the hill and there's this lone pine tree. it looks so fake.
It would have looked better if there was no pine tree.
Yeah,
but you can tell that's like a bed sheet behind him, but. Considering the clouds never move. But that's okay. Again, it adds to the film's character instead of everything being perfect.
And they killed Super Mario.
He was eating some mushrooms.
And Al Capone's gang. Frank Zines, fuck this.
That's another thing you don't see in horror movies now is the monster hides. Actually hiding and being afraid.
Yeah, it's more like, shit, man, I can't take this on. The only
how overpowered can we make them?
The only monster I think that hides, and it's only to set up another trap, is Chucky. I mean, Mike Myers may evade police, but he's not actively hiding.
Yeah.
If he comes up against
and he's
group
not
of them,
hiding from an angry rabble that's trying to kill him.
Yeah. I mean, in Halloween 4, the Revenge of Michael Myers, I think it is, he takes on the entire fucking sheriff's department. They fucking blow his ass out of mind. He stands there and takes every shot. There's a group of hunters hunting him with, like, pickup trucks and shotguns. And he's like, yep, fuck that. What are you going to do? Whereas this, Frankenstein's like, I am not equipped to deal with this madness.
Because it's almost like they have to make him more overpowered in each consecutive movie to keep him as a legitimate threat.
I also love how Frankenstein overcomes this fear of fire.
Well, he just, like, legit fell onto the fire. I'm wondering if they had anything to even protect him from that.
Oh, probably not.
Yeah, back then there was really no insurance. It was just, if you get burned, you get burned, whatever. It's for the sake of film.
Well, science.
Because science rules. That's who needs to play Frankenstein in the remake, Bill Nye.
You know who can almost pull off the intense but sincere, but it would be completely clownish at the same time?
Tim Curry?
Nick Cage. Legitimately, I really think he could pull it off.
I could see that in a weird, like, really lame, like, Disney's Frankenstein.
Disney?
Yeah.
See, I kind of like this, too, where he's basically dragging his creator down with him. Almost like...
Yeah.
I mean, I interpret this as... What I am is wrong. You are not allowed to do this again. Or you have wronged me. We go together.
Yeah, it's sort of like a form of righteous retribution for what he did. He created his own demise, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. He set out to do good, but what he created was unintentional evil. My wife is making sounds at me.
You gotta love the classic two-handed punch.
And it was later refined by William Shatner in the original soundtrack.
That's pretty much all the only move he used.
My cat is trying to use a bow and arrow at the moment. He's sleeping with it.
He's Katniss Everdeen,
get
it?
Yep, he is Katniss Everdeen. You're a good boy, Dr. Wily. Okay.
The quick.
Is it bending again?
To the nth degree.
Should we maybe start emptying it?
Wow, this is kind of scary. Anyways.
Yeah, we almost collapsed part of my house right now, so at the end of this commentary, hopefully you don't hear a bookshelf collapsing. See, I like how the monster's like, oh my god, there is no way out.
Yeah, it was a legit pretty cool climax, actually.
Yeah. Like 10 minutes. Actually, not even like 2. I'm petting my cat's tummy, just so you guys know, as they burn down the windmill. Kitty, feel sadness for Frankenstein. Misunderstood. And I can't remember how they did this, but I know it was
pretty much a big deal. Yeah.
Maybe
that
miniature?
Would have been like a projector screen type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I love that you actually see fear in him, and it's scary for him. Like, being burned alive is one of the worst ways I can think to possibly go.
And he's got this weird natural fear of fire.
Mm-hmm. Like, literally, he's
almost like an animal,
hell.
Like you said. Like, you were comparing him a little bit to an animal earlier, and animals have, like, just this natural, instinctual fear of fire.
Like, that's horror right there.
Now I'm wondering how they bring him back for the sequel.
I think there's, like, an underground cave or something that he falls into or something stupid.
Seems legit.
Yep.
It's the rule that if you don't see him die, they're not dead.
Yep.
Like, if their death isn't on screen, they're not actually dead.
For example, anything Michael Myers?
Yeah.
Except in Halloween 2.
Well,
he's fucking dead.
That doesn't count, because if in a slasher movie, they can die and then come back.
Yeah.
So.
Although, for the record, Jason would totally feed him.
I'm crotchety old man.
Head bedding.
What you should all do is line up in a row and give him blowjobs one by one. It's the only way to truly revive him.
Yeah. Hey, you almost got killed by a monster. Have some wine.
Yeah. And a blowjob.
And a cookie.
Seriously, all of those women are surprisingly attractive. And that guy's like, come to my trailer with me later.
And that's it.
Oh, they're just like hanging out, drinking wine, and then, come to my trailer. The end.
Yeah, it's so... That's the only ending I don't really like.
I don't really mind it, because it kind of works for the movie, and if you understand movies at that time and how most of them did end like that, just, oh, the story's over, done.
So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for us, because we want to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when we're recording this. So
hey, you guys it's on in 10 minutes.
So hopefully you guys will tune in tomorrow to our next Blu-ray DVD commentary, and we look forward to hearing your thoughts, opinions, probably your hate mail, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. We really hope we're not offending anybody.
I kind of hope we are offending someone.
I don't want Ghostbusters-like hate mail.
Okay, not that bad, but if they're a little bit offended, at least they listen to it.
Exactly. So anyway, guys, for This Week in Geek, we have been...
David Double D Dennis.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, and here's to a son in the House of Frankenstein.